Well, it's Friday, July 20th, and I still haven't found time to do laundry.
And no one has. All of us are wearing the same outfit.
As we do every week. It's weird how that works out.
Our first story, hackers are stealing things again, but this time it's not your identity. It's 600 gallons of gas that they're stealing, because that's the thing that you do when you're a hacker.
They're actually not sure how they did this. Or either they're not sure, or they don't want to release the information because they realize...
really simple.
Yeah, the entire infrastructure. But somehow these guys... So they had a gas station attendant who claims he tried to hit the override button.
I guess to turn off the pump.
Yeah, it's not a physical button. It's software, but it's like, you know, stop all gasoline sales. And he claims that whatever they were doing prevented him from doing that.
Well, if it's in software, it seems like that would be... If you figured out a way in, that'd be easy enough to turn off.
We had to do an emergency shutdown in order to get it to stop. But that was after they'd already collected 600 gallons of gasoline. And apparently there were other people at the gas station, and they just got free gas because they happened to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Jealous.
I think the 600 gallons was not necessarily... But they do talk about these guys had like a line of cars waiting to hit the station.
They all knew.
So I guess if they were hitting every pump at once, it wouldn't take that long to get 600 gallons.
Neat. So it's like... a scene from the next Hackers movie or
something.
It's
kind of like a mixture between Hackers and Mad Max.
Gasoline's the only currency.
Perhaps the apparatus involved for stealing the gasoline was some sort of bimbo box? I don't really know.
Yeah, they estimated that... Well, either that or it turns out this gas system that they use has a web interface. So, because you just got, you know, the retail guy working the counter... But the owner of the station might want to log in and see what's going on with the gas levels and stuff. So they might have got in through that kind of vector.
Hmm. This one will be reported on by us in the future when there's an update. There's not an update.
Or there's five or six more gas thefts.
The article talked about how there have been other gas thefts like this in isolated incidents. And how an employee of BP apparently stole $300,000 of gas over time by manipulating computer records, which is a little different attack, I think. But
I think that was probably a higher-up employee, too.
Yeah.
If that wasn't a gas station person.
If you're a higher-level-up employee at a place like that, like, is it just for the thrill? Like, just to get free gas? Or like?
Well, that much, that's a lot of money. How much would you say?
$300,000 would be about $1 million of gas.
Yeah, that's quite a lot. He was probably reselling it.
I guess.
By the truck or something.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, what is the black market price on $300,000 of gas? It seems like it would be less than $1 million.
I guarantee you, I could go to one of these little backwoods, you know, gas and grocery.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, hey, listen, I'm going to get you gas for $1.50 a gallon. And they'd go for it all day long.
Well, so that would only be $450,000?
Only $450,000?
You know, we've got that money lying around, so... We're big YouTubers.
It seems like a lot to risk for jail time and stuff, though, is what I guess. It's like, I'm going to go to prison for like 10 years.
But I mean, well, these guys, what, they get 600 gallons?
Yeah.
So we're talking about $3 a gallon, somewhere around that right now?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
$1,000.
So, yeah.
$1,500. Doesn't seem like a lot. They're going to prison for years if they catch
them. People shoplift at Walmart, and they steal really, really inexpensive stuff.
Yeah.
This is the thrill.
There's no accounting for it.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Have you been to our shoplifting in a while? Sorry, this is not related to this.
I haven't. I was into our shoplifting for a long time, but the...
He doesn't shoplift. He just read the subreddit and would tell us
about it. The appeal of our shoplifting is just that sort of like hate porn where it's like, oh, what a terrible person. Just for a thrill,
yeah.
You did this horrible thing. But the real impressive thing are the size of the items they got out of there. Sometimes they get like these big boom boxes. And it's like, how?
How did no one notice?
How did you do that?
Or maybe they were just lying for internet points.
What's sadder? The actual shoplifter or the person who buys items and lies about stealing them for Reddit karma?
That's a moral quandary we'll post to the comment section this week.
That's user engagement right there.
Hackers have stolen the personal information of 21 million TimeHop users. So TimeHop is a thing that I'd never heard of before. Apparently it has something to do with reminding you about social posts.
So it tells you, like, hey, on this day in 2014, you liked these photos on Facebook or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So it's got access to your account.
Yeah, well, more importantly, it has OAuth tokens, and that's what they got away with. They didn't get any credit card information or anything like that. They got those tokens for all those social media accounts.
So don't let third-party apps access your stuff ever.
In fairness,
same story as always.
They found it pretty quickly. It happened overnight, and they found it the next morning and immediately reacted. So, but do you really need this service?
Listen, I need to see something I posted when I was 16. It's important.
Black Tech Advanced Persistent Threat steals D-Link cert for cyber espionage campaign. So basically, when you write a device driver, it has to be signed by the company that makes it. It's you gotta get on a whitelist, basically. D-Link, they make routers and network cards and all kinds of stuff. Somebody stole their certificate, so now bad guys can sign whatever software they want, like as if they were D-Link, which is bad, because a lot of the protection against malware in Windows is predicated on low-level device drivers being signed off by somebody that they're legit.
Somebody else got one stolen too, but it was expired. And apparently, there is a market for this on the dark web, but these are very, very, very expensive, even when they're stolen. So they suspect that it would have to be a pretty big player to get a hold of one of these.
So be on the lookout for a new zero day that's posing as D-Link drivers or something taking over all of our machines. Hackers have breached the Hola VPN Chrome extension to go after a cryptocurrency wallet website. So, is it Hola or Hala?
Hola, I would think.
I would think Hola, like the Spanish word for hello.
Anyway, they went after my Ethereum wallet, which has the acronym of Mew, which is funny, because cats. And this thing was redirecting any time you went to myethereumwallet.com. It redirected you to a phishing site to try to sniff your password. And this is a really specific attack. You had to use this Chrome extension and use myethereumwallet.com. So I wonder how many people were really affected.
Enough that it was probably worthwhile because cryptocurrency.
I guess that's true.
Malware has been found in the Arch Linux AUR package repository. Dun, 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 dun. And there come the downloads without even hearing the circumstances or any of the details.
Well, it's the user repository. I think that's important to know.
This the is Arch not, user AUR. That's what
this
it is.
Is not the official Arch repository, but this is the user repository.
But all the good stuff is in the user repository. The non-user repository is useless.
But here's the thing. You kind of can blame Arch a little bit for this, because the reason it was one guy, or at least one user, doing it. And the reason they could do it is because when a package has been non-maintained for a long enough time, someone else can go in and take over. And that's what he did with three packages.
They took over the AcroRead Linux, Arch Linux package, which lets you read Acrobat files?
Right.
PDF files. So.
And two others. And he put a little malware in there. But it wasn't malicious. It seemed like he was setting up for a bigger play.
Yeah.
It got caught.
Yeah, they actually did catch it pretty quickly. They caught it much more quickly than I would have expected for the Arch user repository. I've always been worried about this kind of thing with the Arch user repository, but that they caught it as quickly as they did actually is a pretty good thing overall.
Maybe rethink the whole orphan package thing, though.
Yeah.
That seems a little risky.
And I think that if this guy were a little bit more pro, like he did a little bit more work to actually obfuscate things, I think that it would have been much less likely that this would have been detected.
Yeah, it almost seemed like, you know, the way they describe it, the way he was writing these weirdly named files and everything, he was like, can I get away with this? What can I do with this? And he was just sort of experimenting.
He didn't actually have an end goal in mind.
Yeah.
Also, we're gendering this person.
It could be a she.
Could be.
It collected data from the machine. The machine's ID, machine CPU ID, which is globally unique. Other CPU information, the package manager, install packages details, and the output of uname-a. So, a lot of that information could be used to fingerprint an individual if combined with other information, especially the machine unique ID. But
probably not as effective as your browsing history.
yeah. Some people will just jump out a window right now if their browsing history was sent, you know, somewhere else.
Mine would just be weird. Like, why do you look up diseases so much? I want to know.
Malls in California are sending license plate information to immigrations and customs enforcement. Why would they even need to do that?
Well, because they're trying to find illegals.
And obviously they'll be at the mall.
Yeah, everybody goes to the mall. And the idea of doing it at the mall isn't so much to find out, are these people around? It's that people tend to go to the mall regularly. So you can quickly build a profile.
Do people go to the mall regularly?
Maybe just undocumented people. I don't know. But apparently it was useful. So they're like, hey, every Friday they go to Bed Bath & Beyond.
I guess. Thinking about like our upbringing where like we were all kind of like out in the middle of nowhere, out in the holler. And it's like going to the mall was special.
Well, you know,
there.
Like the urban kids. The kids still hang out at the mall?
I guess. Again, you know, all my younger cousins, they all live out in the holler. So it's like going to the mall is a big deal.
I think it happens way more often than you think. That's not a... People tagging license plates at stores, and that's not a new thing. But in this case, the mall owner actually has a contract with ICE. They're getting paid to offer this information.
Neat.
Scummy.
People are very... Well, is it, though? I guess it is scummy.
Given what ICE is doing, it's scummy. If ICE were doing its job, it probably wouldn't be scummy. But given that they're like sweeping up anybody that is even remotely suspicious when it comes to immigration... And shoot first, ask questions later. I don't know that I don't think they need the data.
I think that's what they've been tasked to do.
Shoot first and ask questions later? Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they're shooting anybody. But, you know, they've been tasked to get rid of everybody who's here illegally. You know, it sort of goes with all other kinds of law enforcement where they're using technology and getting kind of lazy with their usual enforcement techniques.
So another way I can think about this is pretty soon all my license plate data is going to be on the dark web.
Pretty soon.
As if already it's not already.
Is. Yeah, it already is.
You know what else is missing? Documents. A hacker stole military documents because someone didn't change the default FTP password.
Yeah, this was on a router. Although, when you look at all these documents, there's nothing top secret here. This is like... drone maintenance plans, survival documents. And I can see why we wouldn't want the enemy to have these, but they're certainly not, you know, like super top secret.
In fact, Bleeping Computer has some screenshots of the information right here.
Really?
The hacker was asking $150 to $200 for the information.
Which Bleeping Computer has now posted.
It's very cheap, considering, you know, if these are really super useful documents. That, like the one there was dealing with IEDs. So I guess, yeah, if ISIS had how we deal with IEDs, that could be bad because they could circumvent it.
In other news, Chrome updated this week. You may have noticed that Chrome is using a significantly higher amount of memory than usual. Doing the news, we certainly have.
That's something to say because Chrome was already pretty hungry when it came to memory.
It's more hungry now. Chrome it's ungoliant now.
It's enabled site isolation feature for 99% of desktop Chrome users. So site isolation will hopefully help mitigate things like Spectre and Meltdown because each web page is running in its sort of own isolated area.
Well, each domain.
Or each domain, yeah.
So you don't have to worry about cross-site stuff because the Chrome.exe is literally just working with one domain at a time. The good news there is they were able to roll back some of that timing stuff that they changed because now there's no worry about that happening because each one is its own container. So I think it was almost a wash in terms of performance.
Woo! And another story that is not a duplicate of any of the other stories, any of the other times we've reported on this, of which there have been many. There's yet another new Spectre and Spectre variant.
Look how happy the little ghost is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Well, he's angry.
It's the same logo.
He's not got angry.
He's
guys.
Malicious.
All over again. This is bad news.
It's just more speculative. There's like a buffer overflow. And what was the other one? Was like riding to the protected spaces.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much the same story. They just keep finding new ways.
Now, I think this one is an important distinction because it does allow riding to protected areas. And we had that on the Intel CPUs, but it looks like this is going to affect Intel and ARM for sure. And maybe also AMD.
But it still requires your system to be previously compromised.
Yes.
In a very serious way.
Yes.
So, you know, bad news for Amazon, but do you have to worry about it with your desktop? You're probably already screwed at that point.
I wonder if this is actually affecting Amazon's bottom line, because you could get reserved instances and dedicated instances. And theoretically, I guess with the dedicated instance, you wouldn't have to worry about other people using the hardware, but... those are vastly more expensive than the usual stuff. So I wonder if people are moving to dedicated instances or moving their hardware elsewhere.
That could be good for Amazon, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because the margins are just Amazon, so crazy.
Amazon and the long con secretly are the ones behind Spectre and Meltdown.
Good. It's people are picking up the phone. It's like, good news, Blade Centers are back in vogue, which is just like the number of nodes per U of rack space becomes the new measure of data centers instead of, you know, compute per watt or whatever. Smart TVs are invading privacy and should be investigated, senators say. So, wow, they're about 10 years behind on this one.
What senator was like, hey, this thing's taking all my stuff?
Well, I think they read some of the recent articles about that stuff, and they were like, wait a minute. I do stuff in front of my TV.
Yeah, like they're just now getting clued into this.
Yeah, they want some sort of, it's very vague. It could also be just a PR move, but that's it. Somebody needs to do something is basically what they're saying about smart TVs. And they mentioned the one smart TV company that, apparently there's one company that processes a lot of that data and offers marketing people the profiles of the people based on that, and they're targeting them specifically.
I wonder if they will be as outraged as they were with the Zuckerberg's testimony, because the TV has a potential to be a much more universal and much more comprehensive invasion of privacy than Facebook ever was. Because with Facebook, you're volunteering. With the television, you're not necessarily even aware that the TV is doing what it's doing.
Well, with this one service they're talking about, you do have to sign an agreement or, you know, agree to the user policy. And it does cover all of the crazy stuff they're going to do, but of course no one ever read it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've got one of those TVs at home, and it's like, agree to the terms, and when you say no, it just turns off. So
that's GDPR made a rule about those policies, right? They have to be really short and to the point.
Yeah.
So I wonder if TV manufacturers are doing a Euro version and everywhere else version.
Oh, I bet they are. That's probably worth it to them.
Do you work as a web developer? Do you have to deal with the Node package manager? Got some bad news for you. If you're using the ECMAScript 6 lint package, it was stealing your NPM credentials, which could maybe be used to add bad stuff to whatever you've got in the Node package manager.
Yeah, this is kind of like the Arch thing. Somebody got a hold of a poorly protected, legitimate package and injected. They were better than the Arch guy. They actually put a password sniffer in there and a malware.
I think this is something that has been known to developers within the NPM community, or developers in general, I think, for a long time. I think Dave Grawl, I can't remember his name, Dave something or other, actually did a presentation on this like a month ago. Is that right?
Guitar player for the Foo Fighters.
That's what I was thinking.
No, he's into JavaScript.
Probably muted. It's probably not the right name. But there was a guy who is well known in this community who was talking about this at a presentation like a month ago. And so, literally in his presentation, he was like, I'm just going to go get, you know, ES6 lint. Oh, I hope it doesn't take over my entire computer. Ha ha ha, sort of jokingly. And then this happens. So that's sort of fun.
The Dave Grohl that me and Ryan immediately just gave each other the side eye. Like, did he?
I probably got that wrong because
it might be the same name. I don't know.
You know, that should be your new thing. Because last week you called Kiss ZZ Top.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, every week you need to do a Clueless music reference.
There was one that I did intentionally in the Doctor Who segment, which is there's a term for when you take one part of one thing and another part of another thing and combine them erroneously, and it was with the names of the Doctor. It was like Matt Tennant and
I saw someone correct you. They're like, David Tennant.
It's David Tennant and Matt Smith, and so I did the thing where I just combined them into one because.
You've explained the magic now. And now it's less magical.
We don't know anything about Doctor Who, so we couldn't.
So that was the other correction that I was trying to remember in the last episode. So I finally remembered it. So now we've got that out of the way. No one needs to let me know. Oh, no. Well, the nanosecond was one.
That was
I wasn't even thinking about that one because that one was so just not even.
What we're saying is that we're wrong all the time.
I think the Doctor Who one is more pedantic than the nanosecond one.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean,
the Doctor Who one's not going to like change anybody's life.
Walmart has patented technology to surveil employees. So Yeah, it's going to listen to employees to figure out when they're not working so it can scold them.
But it can't.
It's what Amazon does, right?
Do they?
Didn't we report on something Amazon was like...
Oh, well, they've got like the...
The other tracking to make sure that you're working all the time.
That's the warehouse workers.
Yeah.
I don't... You know, they're constantly tracking you and giving you metrics at Amazon. And that's just part of it. You know, it's like, how many boxes are you packing? But the thing about the Walmart one, they can't surveil... It's for the cashiers. They can't surveil the cashiers without also surveilling the customers. So they're listening. When you're at Walmart, be careful what you gossip about when you're in line. So the idea is... They're listening to bags rustling and carts and people talking and like how far away they are to determine how many people are in line. If the cashier is asking you about your day, or are they chatting too much with you? So there's going to be a lot of metrics they measure.
Listening for that very distinctive Walmart boop.
Oh yeah, they actually do measure how fast you check stuff out. I didn't work at Walmart, but I worked at a grocery store, and was like a list of fastest checkers every week.
Yeah, the example they gave is they already know how many boops you get per minute or whatever. But if you're talking a lot and your boops are down, then they're thinking, no, you're too chatty. you need to get the BPM up.
We're living in the darkest timeline. Boops per minute. I got fired from my job because my boops per minute were too low. I'm going to need some happy pills, Doc. You're going to have to help me.
You've got no health care. I'm sorry.
I doubt that Walmart ever is not busy, but like the grocery store I worked, there were some times where you just didn't have anything to do. And like I would usually clean my check lane when I didn't have stuff to do, but sometimes you'd like stock the gum and candy, you'd clean your check lane, and then you still had nothing to do. So like, would I be penalized for like a slow period of the store? Is that my fault?
No, because now they're cross-referencing it with the data coming from the kiosk.
The door and stuff, yeah.
So they know if you're actively ringing up orders or not.
Do you have an anonymous Twitter account that you use for the lulls? I've got some bad news for you. The metadata on those posts can identify even secret users with a 96.7% accuracy. And this is data that you can get from the Twitter API.
There were a ridiculous number of points of data, like 100 and some?
Yeah.
Per Twitter post that you're not aware of. So these guys used AI, and they were incredibly accurate to figure out. So they would take, it's like, okay, post, and then go and register a fake account and post something there. This is the account you used. 96% accuracy. Wow. And that guy talked about how, you know, they use Twitter just because they use Twitter, but most social media sites have metadata like that. They could use it anywhere.
Neat.
So when you're telling yourself, when you're commenting with your fake account to say how cool your real pictures are from your vacation,
it knows.
Yeah, people are going to be able to figure that out.
Thieves have stolen from the Apple Store at Fresno's Fashion Fair in seconds. So you should check this out for the surveillance photos. Some guys rush in and literally just steal everything on these tables.
Pro criminal tip.
I don't think these were pro criminals. There was nothing particularly.
They probably scoped it out, right? Didn't we talk about? We talked about this earlier. They had to have gone in and scoped out to make sure that there weren't stuff like security tags and stuff on the things before they went in.
Well, I don't like even if they would have beeped on the way out. It doesn't. I mean, that was obvious they were stealing.
Yeah.
That no one, everyone in the store knew that these.
But
guys
even
were
like
thieves.
A tether, though. No, I mean, like, I'm thinking, like, a tether thing.
A tether
not just
probably could have done it. They probably don't use tethers because they don't like the aesthetic.
Oh, I bet you're right.
The clean table.
I've actually never been in an Apple Store.
It's funny. They cleaned out two tables. And maybe there was another one in the video we couldn't see. But they claim that the items on those two tables, there's the two in the middle in the picture there, $27,000.
Yeah, that's the part that I was thinking. It was like, this does not look like $27,000 of computer equipment. Two, if that is $27,000 of equipment, good Lord, it's no wonder that Apple has $100 billion in the bank.
Yes. You're telling me that all I need to do is just rush in, steal a bunch of crap off of an Apple table, and then I can pay off my student loans.
Well, you got to sell them. They're not going to get $27,000 on the street.
No. It's going to be like $2,700 on the street.
But we have another story about how you can pay off your student loans later in the program.
A guaranteed way.
Guaranteed.
Our next story comes to you from the Washington Post, which we're not going to keep reading for a dollar. But an ex-Apple engineer has been arrested on his way to China because he apparently put a lot of crap about Apple's self-driving cars on his laptop.
Well,
or his wife's laptop, I'm sorry.
He was a terrible thief. I mean...
He doesn't watch this program. to learn pro criminal tips.
I don't think you get to watch YouTube in prison, but he went to China. He went on vacation to China. And then he came back right after his vacation. He was like, yeah, I'm quitting. I'm leaving.
Because my mom is in poor health.
Yeah. And then they did an exit interview, and they were like, well, where are you going? He was like, I'm thinking of going to this other self-driving car company. And then his check-in time and all of the hardware labs went up like 600% that week.
Oh.
And he brought in his wife's laptop, which he never did before. So, yeah, they picked him up at the airport, and sure enough, he had all the documents.
On the one hand, I worry about, you know, Apple just being able to phone up the FBI and being like, arrest this guy at the airport.
Pretty cozy.
But on the other hand, it's like, this is the amount of circumstantial evidence here could drown an elephant.
He left quite the trail.
So we'll just see. We'll have to wait and see how that one plays out. Maybe this guy's just the unluckiest guy in the world ever.
I don't
think Probably not. I think he did it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Chinese police bust a World Cup gambling ring with more than $1 billion in cryptocurrency. So what? Let me translate this article for you. There was a site set up to take bets online, and it got $1 billion of cryptocurrency. So that was too tempting a target for law enforcement. So now law enforcement has $1 billion in cryptocurrency.
Yeah, that's
The TLDR.
And nobody's going to go and ask for their money because they knew it wasn't legal. Turns out, the only legal gambling in China, I was surprised by this. I guess Hong Kong has casinos, right? But in China, you know, the regular China, there's two sanctioned lotteries and no other gambling is allowed.
Wow.
Huh.
I guess Macau has gambling too.
Oh, yeah. But again, that makes sense.
Major League Baseball is also going crypto because we know lots about Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah, that's what they look like in real life.
I expected this to be like fantasy baseball.
No.
Because it seems like blockchain would be a great way to do fantasy baseball, don't you think?
This is the EtherCats, but with baseball players.
Well, not even baseball players. It's moments from games. So there's a never-ending supply of... Well, it's like your favorite baseball player hits a home run, then you could collect that digitally.
Woo.
I don't know.
Sports.
Here's the thing about it, and they bring this up in the article. Whoever, I don't remember what website that was, but the EtherCats, you know, the Ether nerds are into that. But I don't know the Venn diagram of MLB fans and Ether nerds.
That's just two circles.
I think, there might be a little bit of overlap, but I don't think most MLB fans are going to understand. Because
what am I doing with the blockchain again?
Well, not just the blockchain. You have to get like a browser extension and you have to put money into a certain thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Neat. Our next story is really interesting because Charles Darwin said that he thought this was happening with electricity. And we thought until now it was like, no, that's dumb. And it turns out spiders are actually flying via electricity.
I'm going to disagree with you. I think this is interesting in its own merit, with or without.
Is this even impressive? I can fly miles with electric power on a plane.
Yeah, but you can't shoot a substance out of your butt.
To do it. Well, you don't know.
Wow.
You don't know. You can hypothesize.
I'm willing to bet.
There is a little picture. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there he is.
So these spiders can shoot that in the air, and it's like a ribbon. But the ribbon has some kind of electrostatic property, and so it will actually propel the spider in the air.
Yeah, so they took these, they put them in a vacuum chamber where there was no air movement at all. But they recreated an electromagnetic field. And sure enough, they were flying around. And then they shut down the field, dropped right to the ground.
It was, they're leveling up their double jump ability. They paid for that perk.
It's not even a jump. They're straight up flying. That's incredible. I mean, but think about how terrifying it is that flying spiders are everywhere. We didn't even know.
Oh, I knew.
They've got a video of how this works. So, yeah, Darwin talked about how they were flying like 60 miles from shore, which is kind of a long way for a spider to go.
I remember, is it Charlotte's Web? Where all the little baby spiders flew away. I remember watching that when I was a kid, and I was like, oh, God.
Oh, no.
They can fly?
First 3D color X-ray of a human using CERN technology. Oh, man. I've got to go there. I've got to see this.
This is
CERN's got to show me around.
Show the picture. They have the example of it. Look at that.
That's amazing.
It's incredible.
Ew.
So there's a little bit of coloration after the fact, they pretty it up. Like, it doesn't look that good. For the most part, they are just using, you know, all the various little individual particles coming back and figuring out all these things to give you full color.
That's so right. neat.
I wonder what a machine will cost a hospital. They didn't really go into that.
Probably a lot. And then they're going to pass that on to us.
You got to think, how many x-rays does a hospital do a day?
Does a ton.
Yeah.
So if you do...
At least three.
If it's 30 more bucks an x-ray, you make that back pretty quick, right?
That's true. Optical cochlear implants restore hearing in deaf gerbils. So apparently there were some gerbils that could hear well, and they deafened them for this experiment.
That was pretty brutal, wasn't
yeah.
it? But the cool thing is, they figured out that the bones inside your ear can respond to light.
Only if you manipulate them with a virus.
Yeah, they had to give them a virus. They deafened them and then gave them a virus.
The ethicality of maybe doing this in humans seems maybe not possible.
But if you're already deaf, would you take an experimental virus to get your hearing back?
Listen, yeah, I'm just saying left for in a yeah. universe that has, what about left for dead or, you know, what's the Z virus?
I'm taking that risk to hear again.
Yeah.
You're going to be patient zero in this scenario?
Sure, why not?
If you're patient zero, you don't have to be around to see the horrible
That's
apocalypse.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
You die pretty
You
quick.
Don't ever experience the horror.
But you get to hear before you die.
That's right.
So
yeah. It would not. I mean, like 4-8 hours of hearing before I die. I mean, that's probably okay.
Well, you don't know.
Well, you just turn into a rage-filled zombie.
Well, I would say that the moment at which you're a rage-filled zombie, you're technically no longer hearing. So you probably, you by definition, can't be around to hear the horror.
So I'm thinking about a movie IP here. Where you get the cochlear implant, and it's a certain type of music. It's like K-pop. If you hear K-pop, you become the zombie.
Oh.
Is Wes Craven still around? Get him on the phone.
And then for different markets, it can change to different music.
I suppose. I guess that would be very localized. All the weebs would be zombies.
All the anime avatars.
They'd all have katanas. That would be terrifying.
An engine originally designed for NASA's space shuttle is the key to low-cost space planes. This does not talk at all about Elon Musk.
Ding!
But this is cool because they just had some of the NASA shuttles laying around. And they were like, pull some parts off those. Let's put a plane together. And it worked. They did 10 launches in 10 days.
That's wow.
Amazing. So what you're saying is it's reusable?
Yeah.
And they just had the parts laying around for this?
They just pulled some shuttles apart, and they're like, you know what? We got parts. We can build another one. You want us to build another one? We'll do it. So they're going to be able to take up, I think it's, 3,000 pounds?
Yeah.
To, you know, launch satellites, and they can do one every day if they really want to. It costs $5 million per launch, I think. Which is
well, I mean, that's like
a little
dirt cheap.
Higher than SpaceX, isn't it?
Is it?
I think so.
I don't know.
Why aren't we launching like 10 a day for that price?
Well, for a satellite.
Maybe it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. Maybe the SpaceX was like this much to launch a satellite, but the total launch cost is more than $5 million, probably.
Well, this is $5 million per day.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. How much does the average satellite weigh? I'm sure you get more than one for 3,000 pounds, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, those micro-satellites, you could take up a...
pack a ton of those.
A bushel of them.
A bushel.
A years-old one-letter typo led to the Aliens Colonial Marines weird AI. So, like, if you've never heard of this game, don't feel bad. It's super obscure.
Well, because it was a super failure because the aliens just ran around like morons and wouldn't fight you. But they figured out why.
There's an INI file that determines how insane, like how good the aliens are, and there was a typo in that setting that no one noticed for years.
This is why when people say, oh, robots are going to kill us, you know, AI is going to kill us, this is why I'm like, I don't know if it's going to happen as soon as you think it will.
I don't know. I don't think a robot that was doing this programming would have made this error. They just put an A and the word tether.
Yeah. This can ruin your whole afternoon as a programmer. It's like, I've missed a semicolon or I have an extra white space. Or.
But the crazy thing is, this survived product testing.
Yeah. Well, you'd think someone would have been like, maybe I should check that file that handles the AI.
No, I think the more exciting thing here is that Sam got to download and play this game for this article. And he's like, oh, you know, I edited the INI file. And sure enough, it was a much more challenging experience. He was paid to write this article and play that game. He's living the dream.
Is he paid by them?
I think it was a bad game on some other metrics as well. So,
but the AI was better. You can't take that away from it. He said it was worth $3, which is what it's being sold for.
It was found. Oh, that ad is just going crazy. It was found by the mod community, not the people that made the software. Yeah. So they never figured out. But some modder was like,
oh, hey,
can we make the AI better? And he was like, oh, there's a typo.
Found, fixed it.
Nice.
Going the Bethesda way of development. Let the user base figure it out.
It's a decade later.
Yeah.
Researchers find that owning an iPhone or an iPad is the number one way to guess if you're rich or not. Wow.
See, I disagree. The reason I put this in nonsense is that every trailer trash meth head that I know has an iPhone.
You can get them on the Facebook trading post, you know, you go for your county, and you can, there, people are selling them left, right, and center on there.
Wasn't the Obama phone thing, like, weren't they giving them to homeless people?
Yeah, like, everyone has a cell phone now.
I don't understand, but these guys are saying that.
Maybe if it's a new iPhone.
They did research, and Apple products were a very good indicator of whether or not you
have. Now, I didn't see in this article, is this just for the U.S., or is this for global? Because that would change the metric. If it's U.S., I would say this is a terrible study. If it's global, I would say it's probably a better indicator.
I don't know.
Because U.S., it's, you know, our poverty compared to other nations' poverty is not quite the same.
I think it was U.S. based.
Yeah.
But still, that's weird.
It is a little weird.
More data needed.
Yeah.
You know what else we need more data on? This wonderful story from the Wall Street Journal, which says that the first real boom that we've seen in virtual reality is porn.
Chris and I couldn't read this one because we were paywalled, but for some reason on a plane it works.
Yeah, Wendell managed to read it.
Yeah, this one was in there earlier, or I saw this just in my own reading the news. But so, you know, Wall Street Journal says Naughty America and some of the other like big porn producers or whatever.
It is paywalled.
So yeah, we can't.
I bet that's just like a CSS thing. I bet you could firebug.
No, you can't. They fixed that a long time ago. Yeah,
and not all of them have.
I usually will go to Google News, which now I've Googled VR porn and Google News, so it thinks I'm interested in that. But nobody else covered this.
There's a couple of these different companies that make this kind of content, and they're reporting that not only are people buying these titles that they're making, which are, you know, it's like first person, but, you know, it's 360, so you can look around and all that kind of stuff. Not only are people buying more of those titles, they're willing to pay more as well, is what the article said. So, sort of surprising, I guess.
I definitely don't see why anybody ever wants to see the man in pornography. Because let's face it, it's dudes that are watching porn.
Yeah.
And why would you ever want to look at another man's face during that time? But it does seem like it's a lot of effort. It's like, you know what? Let me strap on the helmet. Let me block off 45 minutes in the afternoon.
These are probably the same sort of individuals who may be buying the real dolls.
Suddenly, everybody that has bought a VR helmet is very self-conscious.
Well, maybe they're using it for gaming, hopefully.
Alaska's last two Blockbuster stores are closing, leaving just one in the U.S. And the last one is, what, in like South Bend, Indiana or something?
I think it was in Oregon.
Or Oregon. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it was like somewhere in Oregon.
Bend, Oregon.
It was
Bend, Oregon. And I don't know why Bend, Oregon can still support a Blockbuster.
Maybe they only show indie films. Maybe that's all they get in their Blockbuster.
I mean, we talked about this when it was just Blockbuster in Alaska, and it was like, maybe you can't, you know, like, fast internet's not a thing in Alaska, and that's why Blockbuster would still be good.
They talked about that. I guess that got better. But they talked to the franchise owners, and they were like, you know, we hate to do this, but we've crunched the numbers. We can't keep these open. It just, people aren't coming. So, the death of an era. Actually, I think that era died. Several years ago.
Family Video is still a very popular chain that I see around.
Really?
Yeah, I love Family Video. There used to be one near my college we used to go to all the time.
And it's still there?
Yeah. And there's a couple other in some other towns I've visited with some friends.
Now, what's the vending machine one?
Redbox.
Those are still very popular. I see those all over.
I think they've pretty much taken that business and made it even more convenient. And that's what's killing them off.
Researchers have found that filters don't prevent porn. Why does this surprise anybody?
This was reported by Captain Obvious.
Well, I kind of wonder too, like, if you're a researcher trying to see if you can get porn past the filter, aren't you already by definition searching for porn?
I don't think they did it that way. I think they observed people who you know, like kids, adolescents, they describe them. And, you know, obviously, it's not only is it that your filter is never going to be comprehensive enough, but there's so much new porn every day. Do these filters even consider VR porn? Probably not.
Well, I'm thinking, though, like, I use the internet quite a bit. And I don't come across pornographic content, like, hardly ever, because looking for it.
You got to go looking for it, but that's what these kids are doing.
I was just saying, like, for children.
Right, the idea is, like, parental control.
That kind of filtering.
Okay. Or the UK-style control.
That's what I was like, thinking right. of.
We're going to opt out of this household.
What, you think people in the UK aren't searching for porn?
No.
That's what...
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It can't, yeah. by it's definition. Never.
But they're still batting that around in the legislature in the UK. They want to try, which...
Can't have a knife in London.
Potato peeler. Can't have a potato peeler in London.
No reason to get a VR headset.
Graffiti targeting Amazon and Jeff Bezos illustrates the animosity toward the tech giant in Seattle. So this is probably over like the homelessness thing because Amazon was super in the news there.
Also, right. people don't like people moving to Seattle.
It's very clever because they've got a template and it's Bezos' smiling face and it says, "I'd tax that." That's that one.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know that this is a good thing because, you know, these billionaires are already like super paranoid about stuff and this is not going
to
help.
One of them, one of these pictures on a telephone pole, it just says death to techies. There it is. Don't die techie scum. That's even better.
Does that mean that they're going to come and get rid of all the real techies and the only thing left are like the hipster techies? Cause that's not a world I want to live in.
Well, I think it does create that Luddite counterculture. When the only other people in your city are these, you know, Silicon Valley douchebags, because they're easy to hate. Yeah. Imagine that you're living on the street, you're barely surviving, and all you see every day is Elon Musk.
Or people wanting to be like Elon Musk.
So, of course, you become murderous.
Which, there's a certain personality type that programming and tech sometimes attracts, where it's like people who aren't maybe necessarily interested in tech for tech's sake, but more like... the prestige, which is weird because I don't think it's a very prestigious. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean?
There's definitely some of that.
Yeah. Especially I could see it in Seattle. Big city like that. That would be very prevalent.
PayPal has just demanded a payment from a dead woman, except that then they changed their mind when it became a news story.
Yeah. But the thing about it is...
classic PayPal.
It could not have been a mistake.
No.
Because the letter says the issue that you are in breach of with your contract is being deceased. They have a form letter.
Yeah. And they were, well, it was, you owe us money. It was like £3,000. It was a lot of money. It was like, you owe us money. You're deceased. We intend to collect.
I suspect the idea from the PayPal end was the husband's going to get that. He's going to freak out because it's a legal letter and he's going to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But instead, he went, you know, it went viral and now they're ashamed.
Do you live in North Carolina? I've got some good news. Robots are analyzing your poop.
Ooh, for opioids.
Is that good news?
That perk 30.
Well, I haven't been to the doctor in years. That's how I found out I had cancer. Oh, just kidding.
So it turns out when you consume opioids, it creates this other thing, a metabolite or something like that.
Just poop or?
Well, it's special kind of poop. So they take this, they call it a robot. There's not much robotic about it. I guess there's like maybe a pump and an AI. And they suck up some sewage. There it is.
It looks like they're just pumping sewage into a Fiji water bottle.
Lucid brand it. You put the Fiji on. So it looks at your poop, and it can tell how many people in that area are taking those oxys.
And it's not to target an individual. It's to know if you're about to have a health epidemic in your city.
But
about to. It seems like if you have that many people with opioids in your system.
But if they moved the tap to... your outgoing sewer line?
Yes.
Could easily tell if somebody in the house was doing it. So think about that.
Neat.
So you better start pooping in cans and sealing it up and bring it in the backyard.
Hashtag van life. You want a laundry bottle, I learned.
Oh, man. Maybe we can come up with some kind of product. You know, like
the level one poop bucket.
It's funny because I'm 12. That's a good composting toilet like that, like a little mini composting toilet, and you put it in your van, Or your RV or whatever.
UPS actually has a specific regulation about mailing human waste through the mail. Otherwise, I think that it could be lucrative because you could send give people prepackaged label things.
You can totally do that because there's that company, like the colon cancer company.
There are some exceptions, but you can't just...
Well, we'll get it. We'll get that, you know.
You can't just willy-nilly send pooped people over the mail. We tried.
I wonder if anybody...
I certainly had need to do that in my lifetime.
Here's a government study that somebody can get funding for, because they'll fund anything. Figure out if opiate poop has an effect on plants when composted.
That would be a good experiment. Yeah. We could get lots of federal money. Yeah. You know who else is going to be getting lots of money? Game show contestants. This new game show will pay off your student loans.
I've seen a lot of people talking about this. Like, half the people I'm friends with in real life are like, I would totally do this, but...
But it's really not any different than if they just give you money.
Well, like, if you were smart, you'd put it toward your student loans, but I don't think a lot of people who run game shows are that smart.
But I don't think, for legal reasons, they have to give you the cash option. You can just take the money.
Yeah.
So, and you have to pay taxes on it, too. So, keep in mind, if you owe... You know, 200 grand, and you win it on a game show, there's going to be a 30% tax bill coming for that 200 grand. So,
and they always come for the
keep
tax
some
bill.
Of it back. But yeah, those guys, they admitted, they were like, yeah, we're kind of just like doing this for a dark humor thing, you know, because people are in so much student debt.
They're talking about bringing back revenue share for, like, if you go to a school, you sign up and you get them 2% of all of the money that you make every year from now until the end of time.
That could be bad.
That was
if you invent something, yeah, you get that
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
that's like indentured servitude.
Yeah, a little bit.
Here's the thing about the game show though that I liked. They do like general trivia and stuff like that, but in the later rounds, they do major specific questions.
Yeah, like what you studied.
So you have to actually like be good at whatever it was.
Nice. People are donating money to Kylie Jenner to help her become the world's youngest billionaire.
Ryan sent me this story, and I was like, how does this have anything to do with technology? And he's like, listen, I've been playing fast and loose with the technology part of nonsense for a while.
It's GoFundMe.
It's kind of tech,
GoFundMe, that's a website.
So she's 20, and she has a net worth of $900 million, so we need a GoFundMe to get that last $100 million stretch goal.
Just for the asterisk here, she didn't start this. Someone else started it.
So far, they've got $268.
So this should be like another dark humor thing, right? Because
yeah, this is satire.
Well, she appeared on the cover of some financial magazine. She's like, the headline was something like, youngest self-made billionaire. And everyone was like, wait, self-made? She's part of one of the like largest, richest families in the world.
A lot of people have been making fun of this. And... some people are actually touting this as like, you know, don't waste your life in the rat race. Just be like Kylie. And it's like, well,
just be rich.
Yeah. Like, you want us to all sell makeup? I think that would be a saturated market.
Well, or just, you know, be part of the Kardashian family and hit it big when your sister releases a porn tape. What's the career path there?
There's one of those boys, you never hear about them. And, I always like, cause you hear people make fun of him because they all had something that they were doing. You know,
yeah.
Like they had she had the makeup and whatever. And it was kind of like, you know, we're not mooching off our family. We do our own thing. His thing was he designed socks.
Yeah. Well, they all have like a clothing line.
He got into socks. I was like, good job, buddy.
And it's totally successful.
You're really striking out on your own there.
And it's totally successful, not because of your name, but because your socks are that high quality, yes. Just like her makeup, I'm sure. She was deeply involved in the quality testing.
I bet he was breaking some new ground with those socks.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Definitely not the Kardashian name that sold those socks.
I weep for humanity. Makeup.
Yeah, it's a sad story to end on.
That brings you to the end of Friday, and wow, I mean, you know, what a world to live in if you could actually make a living selling socks. Like, I don't, you know, I hate my job and I hate dealing with people. I'm gonna make and sell socks. I'm just gonna knit them and sell them online.
Well, if you were good enough, you could probably make you would make a decent living if you made an awesome sock. You could probably survive, but being a 20-year-old billionaire? No.
Yeah. Well, here's what you do. If you want to be a 20-year-old billionaire, right? You go back in time and you convince your father to be one of the greatest Olympic athletes to ever exist and then become transgender.
I thought you were going to say invest in Amazon or Apple or something, but your answer is much better.
Yeah.
You know, and then tell your sister that she should totally release that tape.
That would be the next thing. Well, go ahead and film it yourself. Don't leave anything up to chance.
And then, you know, and then exploit all of your siblings. So then when it's your turn, you're ready to go. And then you're a self-made billionaire.